Okay, right, do take a seat. So, who remembers or which gospel we're working our way through? Brilliant! There is a clue. I was just checking that you're awake and we're watching as well. Okay, so we're working our way through Luke. And last week, we were looking at Jesus's teaching about what our priorities in life should be and about handling worry. Do you remember Jesus was saying, look at the birds, look at the flowers. We need to trust our Heavenly Father. And he gave us a little bit of advice. So have a look at the screen now. Primarily, yep, this next one, lovely. So this is what Jesus was saying to his followers and to us. It's a bit of advice about how to live well. Not to worry, but how are we going to live well? So I wonder, I'm kind of like going for those of our younger members of congregation, first of all. Have you got any idea? Because we've got some blanks here. Have you got any ideas what Jesus might have been saying? We did briefly touch on this in kids' church last week. Any thoughts? Dorothy. I know, and you're not one of my younger ones. I know that you come out to kids' church. All right, okay. So Charlotte's kind of going, oh, no, I'm not. Are you not sure, Charlotte, or do you not remember? Not sure? No, we did it really briefly last week, didn't we? We were doing other stuff last week. Okay, so we've got seek the something. Any ideas?
Love.
The love, not love, love. No? No, Francis, I'm just going to come over to here.
The kingdom of God.
Seek the kingdom of God.
Yeah?
You've got it on your sheet. Yeah. So just to say, we do have a little sheet. So if you want to fill this in, you can fill it in and take it away with you. So far we've got seek the kingdom of God above what? All else. Brilliant. And, what next? And he, okay, will give you next bit. We've got, and he will give you. What? No, I can't remember. I've completely forgotten.
We go to the next slide.
Right. And he will give you. All right. Okay. Everything you need. Brilliant. Fantastic. So I'm glad that some of you were on board with that. Right. So brilliant. So this is what Jesus says to his friends: seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Isn't that fantastic? So, Jesus is saying, isn't he, that in our everyday life, we should prioritize seeking God's kingdom so that we should live in such a way that we constantly demonstrate what God's kingdom is like. So a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember that? And part of that is, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, may your kingdom come. So really quickly, we're going to have a little think about what is God's kingdom? Just to refresh ourselves before we move on. What is God's kingdom like? Francis, awesome.
We all know the answer, not just me. It's he's the rule of God in our lives. And we are in that position.
Brilliant. Okay, so it's the rule of God in our lives. Yeah. Fantastic. And
it's king. Jesus is the king.
Jesus is the king. So it's not a geographical kingdom, is it?
No, it lives within you.
It lives within us. So what are some of the hallmarks of that kingdom? What is it like? What are some of the traits that we might expect to see as part of God's kingdom? Ooh.
Gentleness.
Again, Peter.
Gentleness.
Gentleness. Yeah. Okay. Love. Gentleness. Oh, nice.
Love.
Love. Brilliant. Anyone else? Got stuff to offer? Oh, brilliant. This is good. I think that, you know, we're getting the juices flowing.
Kindness.
Kindness. Anyone, there's a bit of a theme here going on. Do you remember the fruits of the Spirit? What? Not a coconut. Definitely not a coconut. Okay, so we've got love,
gratitude.
Kindness.
Gratitude.
Gratitude, thankfulness. Yeah. So we've got some of those lovely fruits of the Spirit. What else might we see as part of God's kingdom? Bruce is desperate to say.
Justice and truth.
Ooh.
And truth.
Justice and truth. Absolutely. Because God says he's going to come and put things right. So we know that God cares about justice. Yeah? Anything else?
We find that he communicates with us. He communicates with us in some way or other through the word or any situation there where he speaks to us. And we can expect that.
Brilliant. So it's about relationship.
It's about relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And relationship centred around Jesus and God.
Of course, and what he's done for us. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else?
Faithfulness.
Oh, sorry. We've got faithfulness. We've got joy. Brilliant, both of those. Other things? There's loads to it, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a lifestyle, we live it. We people at St Mary's live this lifestyle.
And you as well, and Bruce.
Yeah.
Because it's central to our lives.
Yeah, so it's about a lifestyle, a way of life, isn't it? So other things that I wrote down. It's Jesus-centred. It's about bringing light and life. It's transformative. We see where God's kingdom comes. Changes happen. It brings life. It's about restoration. It's a place of belonging, isn't it?
It's often
applied
for some of these things, you know. Gentleness and so on. It's often a fight in our lives for some of these things.
It's often a fight in our lives, and we need to repent. And then we get help and we realise we're on the wrong track, which is quite often.
So there's an element to it where actually there's an element of forgiveness, and that's part of it, isn't it? That's part of the transformation, that when we come to Jesus and say we're sorry for those things that we've done that aren't right, that aren't in line with what he wants, we are forgiven, and that is wonderful. But if we go back to the Lord's Prayer, it's also about forgiving others. So it's relationship with God, relationship with others, that lovely restoration. And we know that when it's powered by the Holy Spirit, that we don't live on our own, which is fantastic. So bearing some of those things in mind, we could go on and talk all day, couldn't we? We're not going to do that. Bearing some of those things in mind about God's kingdom, Peter's going to come and bring us our first reading. Right. Well, that sounds a little bit scary, doesn't it? Did you listen to that? Jesus was saying he's going to bring fire. It's going to be a baptism. He talks about people falling out, about people being enemies. Peter's just finding the right seat. Well done, Peter. Brilliant. So what is Jesus talking about? Because we think about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, don't we? And he is, absolutely. So at the beginning, he's talking about, he's come to bring fire on the earth. And basically, he's saying that he's come to bring God's kingdom. Sometimes God's kingdom is described in terms of fire. And then, in the rest of this passage, Jesus goes on to give his disciples a bit of advice. Now, I wonder if you received an invitation to something, or if you're offered a challenge, or if you're asked to do a job that you perhaps haven't done before, what would you do? Do you just go, yep, fine, I'm in? Or do you sit there and you go, well, I just need to check my diary? Or maybe just tell me a little bit more about what's going on. Put your hand up if you go, yes, I'll do it straight away. Anyone? Oh, okay. So put your hand up if you think you might like to find out a little bit more information about what's being required. Fantastic. Right. I'm going to hand over to Bruce now.
So I need two volunteers, one adult, one not adult. Hey, woman of faith. Here's your blindfold.
Oh, great.
Come on up. Or you could just take... Yeah. Now I need a child. Now, it's really simple. It's either Harley or Charlotte. You don't need to speak a word. You just need to decide whether you like this food or not. Yeah. So come on, Harley. So it's dead simple. No words required. If you like it, it's thumbs up.
If, this on.
Oh, in a minute, yes. Oh, you're being very keen, thank you. So you're going to need that as well in a minute. So if you like it, you're going to go thumbs up. If you don't like it, it's thumbs down, okay? Now, do either of you have any allergies? Any allergies?
No.
No?
No.
Now, I have to warn you that if you put this next slide up, if you put your blindfolds on, I have a selection of things for you to taste. None of them are poisonous. Some of them might be a little bit controversial. Okay, so first of all, you got your blindfolds on? Okay, this is my lunchbox. And this is something that, you know, actually now advertises itself as being something that some people do like and certain people don't. So if you'd like to put your hands out in front of you, you don't have to eat it all, just have a bite. It's a bit crumbly, the cracker it's on. Okay, so... Fish paste. What are you thinking, Harley? Not so much for you. So we had, how do people feel about fish paste? The ancient fish paste sandwiches. Hands up for fish paste. Hands up if you're really not keen on fish paste. Excellent. Thank you, folks. You've been so brave to trust me. I wouldn't trust me, but you have done so. Thank you. If you want another sip of water, feel free. And there's some baby wipes there to clean your hands on if you like to. That's it. Rub it into the carpet. No one will see. Especially not the cleaning team. Avert your eyes.
Oh,
hey. But thank you so much. So it's interesting, isn't it? So fish paste. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Marmite, olives, even honey. If I put chocolate spread on there, some of the people have gone, ooh, lovely. And the people have gone, oh, I don't think so. And Jesus says that some people will love him like that. And some people just won't. Some people, even in the same family, won't be able to see or understand or will choose not to see or understand who Jesus is. And that's going to cause difficulty. It caused difficulty for Jesus, and it will cause difficulty at times for his followers. Because some people want to be and do what God is asking of them. To live, and some people want him just to give them a good life. Where God says, whatever you want to do, that's okay, I'll bless it. But Jesus says, do you know what? That's not what we're called to do. We're called to be followers and to give our lives to follow Jesus, to become part of the kingdom, to let the kingdom, God's ways rule in us, and God's ways rule over us, and God's ways lead us so that we forgive, so that we're kind and generous, so that we speak truth and justice, even when it's not popular. But most of all, it means putting God first, not us. And for lots of people, that's really tricky. I think it's tricky for us at times, but it's tricky for others too. And you know, sometimes in some cultures and some places, it becomes more than just tricky. We might have someone not give us a promotion at work or not talk to us or tease us a bit or always be putting funny things on Facebook about Christians or so on. But there are people, so there's one lady I read about recently who, she ran a business and her business burnt down. She couldn't believe it. A few months later, her home burnt down. And then she discovered it was her father who burnt both of them because he was so ashamed that she'd become a Christian and was no longer a Muslim. Now, there are all sorts of things like that, and it's not a Muslim thing. It's a, when people don't get it or don't like it, they sometimes they ignore it, sometimes they poo-poo it, and sometimes they violently object to it. It doesn't really happen in our culture, thank goodness. There are other things, but they're not quite as severe. But we have to recognise, Jesus says, this is what it's like. Some people will love it, like Marmite, and some people really won't. And some people will taste it a little bit and go, I'm not sure. And as they taste more, discover the wonder of it. And some won't. And Jesus is really upfront. That's why they killed him. And he says, you know, if they're like that with me, then sometimes it might be like that for you. So just be ready, be aware. But in the words of a Corporal Jones, don't panic. Just seek the kingdom of God first and everything else will be okay. It might not be as you want it to be. Your business might be burnt to the ground in the case of this woman. But actually, I've got you. And in all eternity, that's a far more beautiful and important thing. And we know that whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever happens, God never lets go. He never lets us down. So we're going to sing a song about that to remind us about that, because this is one of the harder things that Jesus says to us, isn't it? It's when he says, you know, God is love and brings peace and joy, absolutely, but it also brings challenge and conflict, because some people want it and some people don't. But either way, Jesus is still on the throne. So if you'd like to stand, we're going to sing You Never Let Go. If you'd like to take a seat, you might be feeling a little bit overwhelmed at the moment with those thoughts. But Peter's going to come up and bring us our second reading. And our second reading, which comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 16, gives us a little bit of an insight as to, well, that we're not alone in this. That actually God has given us the things that we need. So Peter, if you'd be so kind as to come and bring us our reading. So guess what we're going to think about now? What I need is another volunteer. It could be the same one, but it needs to be a person of shorter stature than myself, at least, and able to stand. Charlotte, are you feeling brave? Is that a no or a yes? Come on. Come on. No. It won't hurt, and you don't have to taste anything this time. Unfortunately, the helmet of salvation's got a little bit crushed. Are you going to come up, Charlotte? Give me a hand. You can do it. Right. I'd like to apologise if this affects your hairband. I'm not quite sure how big a head this is built for, but it certainly wouldn't fit me. So this, do you want to come up here a bit? Try it on your mum first, if you like, because she'd look very stylish. What do you think? No, it's just a little bit on the small side. Right, I'm going to try not to crush your bow, okay? Oh, even better. Do you know what? It's a little bit on the small side. I reckon this was made for Key Stage 1. So what we need to do is put on the helmet of salvation. So put on your helmet, because we can dress you as a soldier. Because soldiers, whether male or female, are people who are under orders. They do as the people in charge say. So if you're a soldier, you do as your sergeant major says. Or actually, if you're a Christian soldier, you do as Jesus says. So we've got a helmet of salvation. Do you want to turn around and show everyone just how glamorous you don't look in it? I'm sorry, Charlotte. It's not the most flattering of things, is it? So the helmet of salvation is a really interesting thing. Because when things are going tricky, when things aren't going as we like them to, all sorts of thoughts run around in our heads. Maybe it's my fault. What have I done? Where is God? All those sorts of thoughts run around in our head. And Paul, who was locked up in prison, looking at two soldiers either side of him, chained to him to make sure he couldn't do a runner and escape, he's looking at them with the helmets and going on. And going, helmet of salvation. There's that knowledge that I belong to Jesus, that I am his, and that he is for me and with me and will never let me go. Whatever the stories, the things going around in our head, or things that people might say to us, if we hold on to that truth, it helps us to guard our minds against things. So we've got the helmet of salvation. What have we got next? The breastplate of righteousness. What do you think? She's very. You think not? You definitely. You're thinking not. Well, okay, Catherine. One arm in the hole there. This is multi-sized, I think. Roman soldiers. What that? If you put that arm in there, that over your head. Aha! You see. Now we have something. What's this about? What's this breast? What's it for soldiers, do you think? Why do you think a sort of Roman soldier would wear one of those? To protect themselves. Well, why haven't they got it on their arms and their legs? Because our heart and the inside of us is some of the really important stuff. So we've got helmets on our heads, shielding on our hearts and things. This breastplate of righteousness protects your hearts because, and so that you know, righteousness means that you are right with God. That God says, you're okay with me and I'm okay with you. So whatever else happens, if we're all right with the creator of the universe, if our friends are not so friendly or the people that don't like us are being somewhat obnoxious, we can still go, do you know what? I'm okay with the one who really matters. I stand right for the one that really matters. It's okay. Okay, so what we've got next? The belt of truth. Now, you may or may not know that Roman soldiers' uniform all hangs on the belt, not just the sword, but the breastplate is kept in place, and they had those little skirty things with leather flaps on them that were sort of shielding. Well, it was all held in place by the belt of truth. Now, do you want to go with this?
Yep.
I didn't know how big the different people were going to be. So the belt of truth, it's everything holds on it. But what do we mean by truth? Well, what we mean, what Paul means, is that obviously we should be truthful because that's a kingdom value. But actually that there is a real truth in the world that God is God. And we've seen him through Jesus. And whatever else is going on in the world, that doesn't change. Even if opinion changes or in that culture they think this, in this culture they think that. We can stand and be confident the truth of Jesus will hold and bear all things. What else have we got? We've got the shield of faith. Charlotte, can you help me with this one? You'll like this. You can hide behind it. Really determined not to. Now, to be fair, for those of you who know your history, Roman shields were rectangular. They were about that tall, and you could hide. They were a bit like riot shields now. You could hide the whole of your body behind them. So as the arrows and the stones and things were thrown at you as you were attacking, you had your shield, and it protected you. But also, they did this thing, what was it called? Was it the armadillo? I can't remember what it was called. Was it the caterpillar? It's the armadillo, I think. They used to lock all their shields together at the front row. And then the people immediately behind, was it the turtle or the tortoise? The tortoise, which knows the history, have shields over the top. So you'd have shields around the side, at the front and over the top, and you could all walk forwards together, knowing that you were protected from whatever was attacking you. And that's something of what Paul's talking to. He says, the shield of faith. Faith is remembering and trusting in God's promises. God said, this is what it's going to be like. God said, this is what I'm going to do in the future. God said, I promise I'll be with you and look after you. So we can trust that. Whenever anything comes along, we can hold up the shield and just hold it against it. Do you know what? God promises this. God says that. Okay, where have we got to? Shield. Shoes. Yeah, you might not want to put these on. These are Jesse's. I found them in the back of the cupboard. Crocs are great. You can wear them on the beach. You can wear them around the house. You can wear them wherever. But this idea that you need to put on the footwear of stuff will help you know that Jesus died for you and that he is for you. But also help you be free to take that knowledge to other people because they need it too. The shoes of the gospel of peace. Now, Charlotte, you might want this one. Just come and have a look. This one is the coolest of the lot. You ready? Do you want that one? Off you go. You might need two hands, it's quite big. Now, again, Romans had smaller swords than this. Theirs were a little stabbing sword, but this is what's called a long sword, and it's very cool, if I may say so. My son and his wife cut their wedding cake with that just the other week. But what's the sword about? The sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. What do you think the Word of God might be? Any thoughts? Word of God. Any thoughts? The Bible. It's saying, actually, the only weapon that Paul identifies is the Bible. He says, we need to know what the Bible says. What does God say? What is true? What is real? What is important? What are the things that tell us what the kingdom's like and its worth? The place we find that out isn't through our own bright ideas. It's through God's wisdom in the Bible. So he says, that's the only weapon you need. So if we're not taking time to know the Bible and to understand it and hold on to it and remember it, then we're not armed in the way that God desires us for us to be. Because you see, we do this together, don't we? A soldier follows the orders of the commanding officer. In our case, you could say that was Jesus. But the one soldier doesn't make an army, does it? How many people do you need to make an army, do you reckon? A few. 100? 200? How about 2 billion? Would that do it? Would that cover it? Would that be enough people to make an army? There are 2 billion people roughly in the world at the moment that follow Jesus. An army of believers that are with each other, that are for each other, that encourage each other, that remind each other, that love each other. And they don't just do those things to each other, they do it to the world around them as well. It's really easy to forget that the 30, 40, 50 of us here are just a tiny part of a huge group of people. Now, there's one thing in this that's not on there. In our Bible reading, do you remember what it said right at the end? So we talked about all the equipment, but it said one more thing. Prayer. It says pray to God about all things all the time. In modern language, in a modern army, that would be like the walkie-talkie. You know, you radio into base and say, well, this is what's going on, what do you want me to do? Or you radio into base and say, I've had an idea, what about this? Prayer is just the same. It's talking to God and listening to God, sharing truth and hope and encouragements and directions and instructions. It's what we do when we take orders. But not orders to go and do something rotten or nasty, but orders as to how to live well for us and for other people. So, what do you reckon? If you could take any of those bits home with you, which would you go for? The sword. Is that because it's a large lump of metal? No. Why would that be then, do you think? Do you think you like the idea of it being a bit of an active thing? No. It's just cool. Do you know what? I know this is really 1970s and 60s, I apologise. I have my former boss used to, now and again, just to wind us up. We'd sit in a prayer meeting, okay, he'd say, sword drill, pardon, and you have to pick up a Bible and do, you know how you do, like, in the army, they do things with guns, and they have them there, and then they shoulder them, and they get them out, and he would get us doing things with the Bible. Because in his Sunday school, they used to do what they called sword drill. They'd have to get out the Bible, they'd stow the Bible, and they would deploy the Bible. And then he used to do this thing where he got everyone to just get out the Bible, and with the understanding that it's the most useful tool and the coolest thing that Jesus has given us other than himself. And if we know it, and we live with it, and we do it, and we use it, then we're well equipped for whatever comes. And that's not to say whatever comes will always be easy. But when it comes and it's not easy, we know where we stand. We know what we've got. We know who we are. We know who God is. And we know what we need to draw on to be strong and safe and secure in God in those things. Does that make some sense? Yeah.